This morning, we are indeed honored and blessed to have with us a brother who is no stranger to the Southland Area Church of Christ. He has spoken for us before, but especially because we have a more diverse audience and a more international audience, I think it's wise for us to say a little bit about him before he takes the floor and present this morning's message. I'm talking about no other brother, but Brother Edward Davis. Brother Edward Davis works with the congregation, the Sheldon Heights Church of Christ, and he preaches for them quite often. Brother Davis is the second of three sons for Sister Eleanor Lightfoot, and certainly is a brother who loves the truth, a brother who respects the truth, as you will see in the content of his lessons, that he is a perpetual student of the word, continue to study the scriptures, and is indeed just a joy to listen to. Brother Davis got his bachelor's in digital media technology at Columbia College in Chicago, but he also attended Tennessee Bible College. And as you will see, he is an accomplished speaker and one who knows how to convey the message of God accurately and in a very simple yet powerful manner. So this morning, without further ado, we will give the floor to our brother, Edward Davis. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, man, it's just always a blessing. You know, I just love sharing the word and just being able to be amongst people, some people who know me pretty well. Some people who claim they know me better than myself. So I love to be able to just share, you know, time together. And I know we're in a rough time, but God is still doing things, and the work of the church has not stopped. Matter of fact, I would say that it even gets stronger when times like this come. So we look to God, and we just thankful for every opportunity, because we really don't deserve anything. You guys know that. We don't deserve anything, but God, somehow, his grace and that mercy just shines through. Because I know if I was God, I probably would have wiped I would have wiped people clean a long time ago. But God and his mercy and his love and his amazing grace. I can't say it any other way. His amazing grace continues to get us through. Thank you, Brother Webster, for allowing me time today to be able to share a portion of God's word. And I hope that it will be beneficial. Actually, Brother Webster allowed me to do a part one this day. And then next Lord's Day, hopefully we can finish part two, because I know I won't finish what I've got to say to everyone. And I definitely don't want to be moving too fast. So I want to make sure that everybody understands as I move forward, because I can talk fast sometimes. I want to make sure that we definitely get into the word, and understanding what these words mean to us, so that we can definitely apply them to our life, but also be able to explain them to someone who needs to know better. We oftentimes need to do that. So we want to make sure that, yes, we display it in ourselves, but we also can speak on it when it's time to speak on it. So I want to talk on the subject. Let me get my screen up. I'm going to share my screen. I'll tell you right now, you know, my PowerPoint isn't as graphically enhanced this week, but next week I'll do a better job. But Brother Webster told me that I can have a PowerPoint. I said, oh, let me get one together really quick. I definitely have something. You just let me know if you guys see the screen. You can see it now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Awesome. All right, I've got to move this around, make sure that I can see the screen as well. All right, so if you guys see that on the screen, it says, how a child of God grows. All right, how a child of God grows. Brother Webster, you may just need to make sure you stay unmuted, because I may need your help, or I may need to make sure that you guys are seeing things correctly. So just let me know if there's a problem. But again, I just want to thank you all for the opportunity to be able to speak to you. today, and hopefully, Lord willing, next week as well. So we want to talk about how a child of God grows, all right? And you see that acronym, G-R-O-W-S, because we're going to get into that. But the acronym we're really going to get into more so next week. I want to lay down some preliminary concepts so that we can grasp, number one, the importance of growth, why we grow, what God has for us, all the blessings that come in growth. Because oftentimes we fail after we become a member of God's family. We fail sometimes to do more than that. We're in the family, but we don't grow in the family. So I want to make sure that that everybody understands the benefits, all right? Number one, of being in God's family, but number two, growing in. And you see the scripture that I have right underneath the title. That is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And that's where it tells us, it encourages us. Well, really, it's a command. It's not encouragement. It's a command. And it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, so that's what we're talking about, really. Growing, how do we grow? Well, we're going to grow in or by, you can say by as well, in or by the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, so we're going to get to that. I see people taking notes. It's very good, very good. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, all right? So how a child of God grows. Let's get into this, all right? Let's see. Let me get to my next slide. All right. We grow in grace. We grow in or by the grace and knowledge, all right? So we're going to look at what was read just a little earlier in our hearing, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to start there. And Peter, oh man, he's got a lot on his heart. If you read this, this is his letter to those who are dispersed, and we know that. Well, we'll find out that he was nearing the end of his life when he wrote this. God had revealed it to him that he was coming to the end. It was getting close, and one thing that the Holy Spirit propelled him to do, all right, is to start off strong with this message about growing, all right, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and how important it is, all right? So the key concept, let's look at 2 Peter again. If you guys have your Bibles or your mobile devices, however you look at it, I'm going to go to 2 Peter, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. 2 Peter chapter 1 and starting at verse 2, okay? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. All right, so starting off, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, how? In the knowledge of God. Yes, in Jesus Christ. So knowledge is power. That's what I want to start off saying. Knowledge indeed is power, okay? So we're going to grow in or by grace. Listen, we can't do anything without God's grace, all right? We start off with the seed of grace, and we grow because God continues to shed his grace on us. But it takes more than just grace. It takes our effort as well to grow. Listen, we can't put this on God, all right? We can't put this side on God. It is going to take our effort to grow in knowledge, all right? We won't get that knowledge just by osmosis. We have to put in some work. So understand, we are co-workers with Christ. Right? We are joint workers with Christ. Christ does his part. He provides us the grace. But guess what? We have to do our part, and that is continue to learn from Jesus, all right? But that knowledge is indeed power. Y'all heard it all. I'm sure everybody's heard it. Knowledge is power, and it indeed is power. How is it powerful? Well, we start off this verse by seeing it's grace and peace that can be yours in abundance through that knowledge. So if you want grace, if you want peace, guess what you need? You need knowledge of the Lord. You can't have true knowledge and understand God and not have grace and peace. It's no way. But on the other end, you can think you have some grace and you can think you have peace.
But that's not the peace. That's not the peace that the Lord gives. You remember the Lord told us, he said, I come to give you joy. I come to give you peace. Not like the world gives you peace. No, no, I give you peace like that comes from above. And that's peace that cannot be taken from you. That's peace that the situation does not change and your peace just all of a sudden goes all the way out the window. See, that's something that God and Christ can only give you. So we have to understand you only get that kind of peace, that kind of understanding of what grace is in abundance. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? In abundance, if you want that, it comes through learning more about the Lord, all right? He said, and also he continued reading here. He says, and his divine power has given to us all things, everything he's given to us. Someone may look at that and, you know, you may woke up this morning and feel like you don't have everything necessary. Maybe you feel like, you know, you're lacking something, all right? If you are lacking something when it comes to living godly, you know, you feel like I don't know enough of something. Well, guess what? That is not God's fault, because God gives us everything we need. Not for everything, but everything to live a godly life, all right? So he says he's given us his divine power, has given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. But through what? By what? See, here we go. Knowledge is power, all right? We miss this. We miss this sometimes, all right? You're only going to have everything you need by continuing to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. We got to get to know him. We got to spend time with him. We have to understand him. Listen, we're living in the information age, right? We are definitely living in the information age, but you know what I call it? I call it also the misinformation age, because you can find information everywhere. Everybody's got something to say, for sure. Everybody's got some knowledge about something. But we all know all knowledge is good knowledge, right? So we have to reserve time, make time, cut out time to learn the Lord better. Because if you don't, you'll find yourself saying some of the things you hear on the news. You'll find yourself worried, like you hear some of the people worried outside in the world, not knowing, not understanding how God's going to get us through. But he's going to get us through. And it all comes again from back from that knowledge, that power. So again, the divine power has given us everything through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. All right. We're going to go to the next slide. All right. So his divine power, what does it do? Why do we grow? Why should we grow in knowledge, okay? It's because it's our calling. It's our calling. God has made it like that from the beginning. You child of God. Yes, God has called you for a reason. He did not stop when he put you or when you came out the water. That it was just the beginning. We all understand that. That was just the beginning, right? Oh, yeah, that's just the beginning. That's where a lot of trouble starts. When you get out of the water, when you give your life over to the Lord. But our calling is more than that. Listen, we cannot feel like we've done enough because we obeyed the gospel, all right? We have gotten into God's grace. We are living in God's grace, but it's not enough to just live in the grace. We have to grow in that grace. So his divine power, what does it do? Look at verse 4. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So by what? By his glory, by his virtue, by his goodness. We have been given so many precious promises, all right? That through these promises, all right, that through them we may be partakers of the divine nature. All right, this is very important, the divine nature of God. Have you heard anybody speak on the divine nature? Have you heard anybody ever speak about you sharing in the divine nature? This is powerful stuff, all right? So my brothers and sisters, understand that we've been called, all right, to take part, not just to know God, not just to understand and be far from God. But we are called to become close to God, so close that we have oneness with God. and we can partake in that divine nature. This is serious business, you guys. This is a hallelujah point, all right? Because sometimes we don't live up to the calling. We run around here with our heads down, you know. Someone asks you how you're doing, you guess I'm all right. You know, I mean, I'm living another day, things like that. We are not living above circumstances. Oftentimes we're living under the circumstances, right? But God has not called us to live like that, man. He's called us, brother and sister, he's called us to live in the divine nature, all right? That means to live with a certain dignity about you. That means to walk and to feel. It comes starting from the inside of knowing who God is, getting to know him better again, all right? But we can become active participants in the divine nature, all right? We'll talk about more what that means, all right? And this is why the Spirit, through Peter, tells us to make every effort to grow. So again, it comes through effort, all right? It comes through effort. This is like what I would call a hot pursuit, all right? It's one thing for someone to tell you, hey, you know, go outside and, you know, wait for something to come, like it's gonna be mailed to you. He doesn't say that. He says, make every effort to grow. All right. He says, make every effort to grow in that. And the way he says it is saying in verse number 5. All right. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. All right. So giving all diligence means to give every effort, right? To work very hard at. I would say that's like a police chase. All right. They give every effort to get that person off the road. All right. They're not kind of giving effort. No, they are in a hot pursuit. And that's what God wants his children to have, you know? He wants us to have that feeling of urgency. Like, we are wanting to come to truer knowledge of God. You know, we are wanting to know more about his qualities, what makes him who he is, that divine nature. And when we take that seriously, we go after it. We don't wait for the preacher to speak the sermon about it. We go after. We get in the word. We spend more time with the Lord. We listen to things throughout the week that's going to get us closer to the work. You know, we are active participants in becoming more with the divine, all right? And so again, this means to add to our faith the attributes of God. And, you know, he goes down the list of those attributes. You know, he talks about what we add to our faith. It starts with faith. We live in faith. We start in grace. We live in grace. But it doesn't stop there. We add, all right? And I wasn't good at math. Algebra kicked my butt, all right? But I know some basic addition and subtraction. And adding, to add something, we have to look at something and know what it is and then put it actively in our lives. Otherwise, we may find ourselves subtracting from what God even gave us to start with, to start this race, all right? Now, this divine nature, all right? You know, it's hard. This is why we are so thankful that Christ displayed the fullness of God in the flesh. What do I mean? It's easy for us, you know, to be able to have an excuse. We could probably have an excuse. You think about it, you know, God sitting high, looking low. Okay, we feel like maybe he doesn't know us like we think he should, you know? He always did, but sometimes we could think like that, all right? We could think, he didn't go through, that's God. He's not tempted in the way we are. But thankfully, God showed us what the divine nature looked like in the flesh, all right? It was on display. I said, you know, you want to see the Father? You're looking at me. You see me. And when you see me, guess what? You are seeing the Father. You are seeing his essence. You are seeing his qualities. You are seeing what makes God who God is, the divine, all right? And that's what we want to look at. That's how we want to feel about it, all right? So hopefully you guys are starting to understand where I'm going with this lesson and why is it so important, all right, to understand what growth is and why it's so important, all right? So we want to understand, look at Christ's life. Thank God we have Christ's life to look at because he has been tempted in like manners that we have, all right? He has dealt with people, hard to love people, all right? He has dealt with tragedy. He has shed tears for people because he looked at their state. And even though he can change people's state, guess what? Even he cried when he saw, right, how people were crying for Lazarus. Even his emotion was brought out. You're like, this is Jesus. He knows what he can do. He knows he's about to lift this man up, raise him from the dead. But he still felt, yes, human emotion. All right. So we have Christ, our example of what it means for the divine nature, qualities of God to manifest themselves in flesh like us. Thank God for that. All right. We'll keep on reading. So these qualities, he talks about adding knowledge, adding self-control, adding those virtues, right? He talks about perseverance. He talks about brotherly kindness. He talks about love, which is the pinnacle, the peak. That's what we're going for. He continues to say in verse 8, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." What does this mean? It means if you are trying to add those virtues, those attributes, those qualities that make God who he is. Now, there's some things we cannot be. We will never be omnipotent. All right. We'll never be omnipresent. All right. There's many things that God is that we just cannot be. Those kind of qualities, no, we cannot. All right. But those attributes that God has described, all right, and he put us out there. He put it out there for us to look at and be able to utilize in our own lives. Those things, he says, if we are striving on a hot pursuit, all right, not waiting for these things to come our way, you know, we understand. You guys know, all right, we have Christians who've been children of God for a long time, and they are still infants in Christ, all right? I'm not going to talk about all that, all right? I'm not going to step on people's toes. This is an encouragement lesson. This is to encourage us to not be satisfied with being in Christ. This is a lesson to tell us that we need to be able to move and press toward the mark of the high calling. Again, what is the calling? To take part in the divine nature, to grow, to be more like Christ each and every day. And again, there's no excuse because God gives us everything. Yes, he gives us everything. No one can say he doesn't give us everything. He gives us everything we need that pertains to allow us to live a godly life. Now, we won't be perfect. No, we won't be perfect. But nothing can prevent us from striving and prevailing and being conquerors in Christ. No one wants to be ineffective and unproductive. I hope nobody wants to be ineffective and unproductive, right? We know what Jesus said about those trees that don't grow fruit, those plants. He's divine, and those who do not grow, you know, are cut off, good for nothing, pretty much to be trampled underfoot. We don't want to be ineffective. We don't want to be unproductive, all right? So that's why it's so important, all right? We're going to go on to the next slide. What does this partakers of the divine nature, again, possessing God's qualities, all right? Listen, it is first importance to Peter, again, knowing that he would soon put off his earthly tent, all right? Let's see. I appreciate you guys. All right, so going to 14 verse. I'm sorry, you don't have the exact verse there, but if we just skip down, all right, so in second, the same chapter we're in, 2 Peter, still in chapter 1. All right, we're looking at verse number 14. we're not going to skip. We're going to read because I'm going to take my time through this. I want to make sure everybody understands, all right? So again, verse number 8 talks to us about if we continue to pursue after the traits of God, we will neither be unfruitful, all right, or unbearing. Now, verse 9 says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Like, if you're not going after things, if you don't put those in front of you, this goes in the real world too. You guys understand that, right? If you don't put those in front of you, you're not going to move forward, right? You're going to be fine. And there's one thing to be content, all right? There's one thing. That's godliness with contentment is great gain, all right? But we're never to be content in our growth in Christ. That is a different story, all right? So again, he says that if you're not pursuing these things actively, guess what? You're short-sighted. How many Christians do we know that are short-sighted? How many of us become short-sighted, right? We have those moments where we become short-sighted. We're not putting standards for ourselves in front of us where we're like, listen, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on being better at my patience. I'm going to be better at working at my gentleness. I'm going to be better, right, at persevering. Those things, it's not going to just come. Again, we have to set those goals and press forward. And then we can see our progress when we look back and we can think about how God has taken us a mighty long way, right? So he's saying, if you lack these things, you are short-sighted, even to blindness, and then you have forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sins. All right? Well, let's go. Verse number 10. Therefore, brethren, even more diligent to make your call and election sure. So again, another important thing about adding or growing in Christ is no, we do not work. I'm not saying this, all right? We do not work for salvation. No, but we definitely are saved and we need to work out our salvation. All right, that's a very important point. And I understand you could say that's wordplay, but this is a very different thing from working because you are trying to be saved versus God saves you. You have been placed in grace. Now you work in the grace of God. Yes, and by the power of God, all right? And in those things, because again, we go back to that verse where he says he gives us everything we need to live godly lives, all right? Hopefully you guys understand what I'm saying. I'm not losing anybody, the head nod or anything. All right, let's go on to, we're still in verse number 10. So he says, make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you won't stumble as to fall and stay down. Right? You will not stumble as to fall and stay down. Again, will not be perfect. Even when you are partakers in divine nature, we know we are not Christ. So we aren't going to be perfect. We're gonna mess up, trip up. But that does not mean we stumble to fall and not get back up. So he says, you do those things in verse number 11, your entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. That means, you know, I know some people talk about, you ask them, they say, you know, you believe if you die today, you'll be going to heaven? I don't know. If I ask you that today, you know, if you die today, do you believe? Do you have firm confidence that you're going to heaven? You know, a lot of people, I mean, there was a time where I guess you would say just wanting to be humble. I'm like, I don't know. I just hope so, you know? And that's an honest answer. A lot of people, we feel that way. But we should not feel that way if we are striving, right? Again, this relationship with God where we are sharing, having fellowship with God, all right, that divine nature. This is what he says. We can be sure because it's not going to be like a tight entrance into the kingdom of heaven. No. Listen, I'm not making this up. And he says, your entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. That means he's going to open up wide. He's going to open up wide, confess you among men. And he says he will confess you among his father. So this everlasting kingdom will be yours. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be like, I hope, you know. No, it's not about a scale. And if you did, your good outweighed your bad. No, it is about a relationship with the Lord, sharing in that divine nature, going after those qualities of God and continuing to let him shine his grace upon us because it's going to be through God's grace. All right, now, verse number 12, he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present. So he says, listen, I know you guys know this truth. You guys know the truth, the gospel. He says, but I'm not going to shy away from keep telling you these things, that you need to keep growing in these things. Yes, I think it's right. As long as I am here in this tent, to stir you up by reminder. Knowing that shortly, see, this is where he says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So the Lord had showed him, he had revealed to Peter that your time is nearing the end, all right? Your time on earth, this earthly tent, this fleshly body, you're going to be leaving it, all right? So put first thing first, all right? And the Spirit told him, this is one of the main things, this was first importance to Peter. You see, he started right in the first chapter. Right after he talks about grace and things being multiplied to you, he goes right into it. This is the most important, children of God. Follow after God. This is what I call chasing God, you know? Listen, God is not far from us, but we should be chasing after God. That's the zeal that we should have. All right? And that's what he says. So he says, we are constantly reminded of those things to put their faith in Christ, but not just that, to hotly pursue the divine fellowship and communion with God that only comes through growing in the grace and knowledge of him. So next, we will look at these qualities through the acronym GROWS. All right, I'm just talk a little bit about, again, just going through some preliminaries, but that's what the big thing is going to be. All right, we're going to focus on those principles, those qualities, those attributes, whatever you may want to call them. All right, but let's talk more about this image bearing thing. All right, I haven't mentioned it, but this is really what it is. All right, so when we are putting on the divine nature, we are basically just becoming more and more like God. That makes sense. I'm sure that makes sense, all right? That is why we are called image bearers of God. Of course, you guys know the story in Genesis. God created us in his image. We were created in his image for a reason, all right? We know what happened. We know how our first ancestors, our great, 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 whatever, messed it up. We know. But if it wasn't them, somebody else would have came along and messed it up. Adam and Eve, we can't put all the blame on them, but we know, all right, that they were created in the image. More specifically, Adam was created in the image of God, and we know that Eve was created from the rib and beholds more so the image of the man. But if she beholds the image of the man and the man beholds the image of God, that means that we all are together, all right? So when we talk about the image bearers of God, this is really the question of who's your daddy? Who is your daddy? We can say, you know, if I say who's a child of God here today, I'm sure we get everybody raising their hands, raising their feet. But it's not that easy, all right? Jesus describes the test. If you look at John chapter 8, verse 41, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, he was talking to various groups, religious leaders of that day, all right? You'll notice that Jesus had grace with those who, you know, didn't think that they deserved it or so. But those who thought that they were higher than thou, those who should have known better, but they were the ones who were, you know, acting like they were better than others, trying to test Jesus often and things of that nature, right? Well, I don't have time to look at the whole story, but this is what he describes those people he was talking to. In John chapter 8, verse 41, he says, "You are doing the works of your father." All right, and they said, again, we are not illegitimate children. They said, we are not, what do you mean? And he said, you don't understand. Our only father is God himself. That's what they said, all right? But look at what his answer was in verse 44. He says, no. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires, all right? So his description of what a child of something is when you are doing the works of whatever you're doing the works of is. And then you're doing the will of whatever, you know, whoever, whatever it may be you're doing. So this is not just the standard, a test of who you say your father is. This is not just a test of you got baptized, therefore you're a child of God. This is more about, again, whose works are you doing? Are you doing the father's, who's in heaven, or are you doing the devil's work? Well, it seems like there's no in between. You can't serve two masters, we know that. So he says, you are the father, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do the father's desires. You know, Jesus just told it like it is, but that's the test, right? Whose work are you doing, and whose will are you serving? All right. This is why we are called to be like Mike. I meant to scratch that out. You know, y'all know. I listen, I'm a basketball player and I want to have some fun with that. So I put that there, but I want to scratch it out. Make sure that you guys are looking. All right. So I'm going to scratch that out next time. All right. But we are not called to be like Mike. You know, everybody want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Oh, my gosh. Kobe Bryant. He was the best at imitating Michael Jordan. The best. That's why Jordan said he may be the only one that could beat him, because he said, I mean, he stole all his moves. That's crazy that even Michael Jordan said that. I digress. The fact is, we are called, all right? This is why we are called to be like Christ. Right? Romans 8:23, we're going to do a survey of some verses that talk more about bearing his image, right? Romans chapter 8:23 tells us, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. So that predestined is that pre-calling, all right? He knew you. Listen, you guys obeyed Christ. Very good, all right? He knew you would obey him before the foundation of the world, right? But he also knew those people, and he predestined them. He pre-called them for this purpose, to be conformed. This is the point. This is what we're aiming for. This is if you're shooting, right, a dart, or if you're shooting an arrow, this is the whole aim. This is the whole point. So if we miss this, we have missed everything, right? The point to become a Christian is not to just go to heaven. It's to be like Christ. So he says, we were predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. I wish I had more time to talk about that verse, but I'm going to go do a survey of verses that talk about this, right? Also, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that we are to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, all right? So this creation, you guys know, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's another scripture that I'll talk about this, but we were created in the likeness of God in the beginning. Adam was. We were created in God's image to be image bearers. But we have been recreated, thank God. The new birth, reborn, born again. All right. We have been given a second chance to be like Christ, to be like God. All right. Colossians 1:15 says, he, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God. That image, that expressed image, what does that mean? That word image, all right, that comes from the Greek word that really means like a stamp, all right? And when you put that stamp on it, guess what? That stamp is just like, or that seal is just like whatever is on that seal. That's what imprint is leaving. And Christ is the express imprint of God in the world. He was the express imprint or the image of the invisible God. No one's seen God. But again, he said, if you see me, you're seeing the essence, the attributes, the qualities. What makes God who he is as far as the qualities that we can't actually be? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:49 says, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that is Adam. So we born that image, but we are looking to be, you know, this is what we look for. We shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. All right. Now, this is something that I know some people say, well, you know, this is what we do when we get to heaven, when we're with him. But guess what? We can start on this now. All right. Because if you don't start trying to become like the image of God, the qualities, show the qualities of God right now, you're nothing's going to miraculously just change you to get some of those qualities like God. All right. So we shall bear the image of the man of heaven. Thank God. We're going to put off this earthly tent and put on a whole nother, right, dwelling, all right, that was made for the heavens. But now, we can start right now to look like Christ, look like God, while we're dwelling in our flesh. All right, we're gonna move a little more quickly, all right? Tell me, how much time do I have, Brother Webster? I'm not even looking at the time, so I got the scream ups, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And don't say I got all day.
Oh, no, you're in the home stretch, my friend.
Thank you. All right, so we'll be closing it out. So this image bearers of God concept, again, it is so important that I just started wanting to put some scriptures that talk about being imitators of Christ, all right? And there's so many, but here's some. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11:1 says, be imitators of me as I am imitating Christ. So this is Paul saying, listen, you guys can't see Christ. All right. Some of you guys wish you could see Christ. You didn't see Christ. Some of you guys didn't even get a chance to see Christ. Right. But guess what? He's saying, in essence, kind of what Christ was saying when he was on earth. He's saying, listen, you want to see God the Father? Look at me. All right. I am imitating God the Father. You can imitate me. All right. Well, that's what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. He's saying, listen, some of you guys were not around to see Christ, right? You weren't there to see him in the flesh, but I was, and I am imitating him. So imitate me. All right. And that's what they had to imitate. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So again, who's your daddy? Well, if your daddy's God, we ought to imitate him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Now, I remember my dad, you know, he did some things that my mom, who was on the line, she verified that that I do like him. I don't know. Some things might have just come by watching him. The way I slouch over sometimes, the way I laugh, and some of those mannerisms, that's naturally going to be true if you are a child of someone and you spend time with them. Well, that's what happens, and that's what we ought to do with God, our Father. Philippians chapter 3:17 says, Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So again, being image bearers of God is all about imitating, right? Imitating God. And sometimes we are going to be that written letter of God to others. And hopefully we can say, and we can look at people and say, hey, you know, you can imitate me because I'm imitating God. You know, don't do as I say. Hopefully we can get to the point where we're saying, you know what, I make mistakes and I'm going to show you. All right. But be like me, because I'm trying to be like Christ. But ultimately, I do fail. I do make mistakes. But we can all strive to be like Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Again, that is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And then Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Oh, I put that there twice. Interesting, all right? So this is what we're going to look at next week. Hopefully this is something that you guys look forward to. This is some of the things that I think fall into these categories that he says and that he shows in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he talks about adding to your faith. These are things. And we'll see how they all apply. But I made an acronym, so hopefully we can have fun with this, all right? Because we can grow. That G stands for grace. We grow in that grace, and we grow in goodness. That R stands for growing in reverence, reliance, responsiveness, and resilience. That O stands for growing in obedience and opacity. I know some of you guys are like, what? Growing in opacity. Okay, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that. Growing in our worship and our works. Growing in how we are more spiritually minded. Having self-control, sacrificial service unto the Lord. So those are the things that we're going to talk about next week. But right now, I just wanted to get us some I can't even talk now. Let me get some water. We're going to have some preliminary discussion, all right, about the importance, all right, of growing in Christ. What it means to be a child of God and how we really can partake. All right, in that divine nature, grow into our calling, grow into what God has for us to grow into, which is the fullness. And one day we can look forward to sharing and being like Christ, because we can't see him now. But the word of Christ, the word of God tells us that one day we will, and we will be like he is. But until then, we work on growing as we are children of God. Thank God for this lesson. Thank God for growth. Thank God for his word that allows us to have the knowledge, which is the power to do the things necessary that we need to do, even to saving someone else's soul. Hopefully at this time, you know, we have children of God on the line. We have children of God on highways and byways, wherever you may be worshiping the Lord at this time. Just look into your life, all right? Understand that, you are a child of God, and he calls you to great things. So never underestimate, all right, your life. Never underestimate what God has planned for you. He has called you for a purpose. He means business. He doesn't waste time. So God called you, and understand that he called you for a reason. Your life is very important and precious to him. And maybe you don't know God. Maybe you're on the line hearing this for the first time. Listen, God is calling you to his kingdom. He is calling you to be a child of God. Yes, he created you, but he wants to recreate you in the image of him. Take that opportunity. How do you do it? You must believe that Christ is the Son of God. It starts with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Start off with that faith, that belief. That belief should cause you to want to repent. That means you change, you turn from your wicked ways and you turn to follow Christ as your leader. We're talking about imitating him and not imitating the world. You want to confess Christ because he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. You have to be willing to confess him. We will take your confession before men. You have to be willing. After you believe, you know you heard it, but you had to believe and you repent, you confess, you go in the watery grave of baptism. This is the portion that represents your old life, your old self, that old creation dying and you waking up a new creation. Hallelujah, that God gives us the new creation. This is what you can do, and this is where you become what we call a child of God. God loves you. He wants you to become his child in the truest sense, where you become partakers in the divine nature. You can do that today. How do you do it? You can let it be known. You may know someone else on the line. Talk to them if you want to know more about it. You can call Brother Webster. You can get on here and raise your hand. There's ways to make it be known right now, and we will address you. Maybe there's those who just fallen away. Maybe you feel like you've fallen too far away, but no, you have not. Listen, if you are still having the breath of life in your lungs, God is giving you opportunity, and he's calling you home. Come back to him. You don't have to be rebaptized. No. Confess your sin. Repent. Change of heart. And give your life over to the Lord. He gives you that freshness, that renewal, because the blood of Christ continually cleanses you. It's just that relationship with God that he wants. Whatever your need may be, do it today as we sing the song of invitation.